Okay, so just a few Hollywood things for you guys. Elizabeth Berkley was at a sold out, if you're wondering, what the David Geffen Theater at the Academy Museums holds. It's 1,200 people. Elizabeth Berkley had Showgirls, her movie, had an Academy screening there, and they gave her so much love.
Did they?
Yeah, she got three standing ovations during, because she introduced the movie. And of course, the movie Showgirls, just to remind people, this is the Paul Verhoeven, who is the director of Basic Instinct, and Joe Esterhaus also wrote the screenplay for Basic Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
They teamed up after the success of Basic Instinct with Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas to do Showgirls. And the Esterhaus, you know, he told, it happened in Hollywood on one of their podcasts, that he took a lot of the story ideas from talking and interviewing real showgirls, dancers, and strippers in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But when that movie came out, it was destroyed by critics.
Yeah.
And I bet if we look back and read some of the reviews, we would be really horrified, because Elizabeth Berkley, she was from the teen sitcom Saved by the Bell. She was 21 years old.
Yeah.
And she got the bulk of the vicious words about how bad the movie. Now, she didn't write it.
Yeah.
She didn't direct it. I mean, you know, like the critics had all this venom that they really directed at her. They called her like everything from irritating to a bimbo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nominated for 13 Raspberries, which, just by the way, is a record that still stands.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
As far as I'm concerned, and it won 7 of them. It bombed at the box office. It only made $20 million on a budget of 45, and it ended Elizabeth Berkley's career.
Yeah, before, like, I mean, this is the stark contrast alone from Saved by the Bell. I think people were uneasy about that alone.
But also it just shows that, like, a woman could not, if you fail, boom, you're out.
I know.
Whereas, like, a guy, the bar is, like, at a different level.
But,
and this is how many, years
95,
ago?
Yeah. 95, so, yeah. No, and I also just mean, like, she was up against some harsh criticism alone. Like, it's too bad this was her first role, because I think people, especially back in the 90s, were so harsh about anybody going from a family-friendly world.
Yes.
I mean, think about what Miley Cyrus had to deal with.
Yeah.
And then, in fact, like, Elizabeth Berkley comes out and she does a topless, you know, a couple topless scenes in this movie.
And
people,
you know,
wanted to hate it anyways, and, like, her acting is pretty corny in this, but it called for that. Like,
That's right. So anyway, she said to the people, she said, you know, she got kind of teary eyed.
Mm-hmm.
You stood by the film. She actually asked her agent, do you think I'm going to get nominated for an Oscar for this? Because the script was so gritty.
Yeah.
She couldn't believe it. And then, you know, Showgirls ends up kind of becoming a camp classic.
Yeah.
And it's unintentionally hilarious and entertaining. But the director and the writer really didn't get any crap about it, but it does have this loyal following.
Oh, yeah.
So she got three standing ovations, and it's getting some love, and she got up and she said, I'd like to thank, after she told the Academy Museum.
So that's really cute.
She just was happy that people always believed, because she just, like, was really bewildered about all of that.
Yeah, there are some epic scenes in it. I wouldn't, you know, it got way more heat than it needed to about being negative. It's not as bad of a movie.
No.
But
again, but remember, you know, like, sometimes male movie critics.
Yeah.
And probably in the mid 90s, there were, you know, it was a 90% of the critics male.
And it just, man. Like, Elizabeth Berkley really brought her exact acting that she did in Saved by the Bell into the movie. And that's where you go, She just needed an acting coach to say, this is not a sitcom. Don't do sitcom acting. But that's what she knew.
That's what she knew. Yeah. And yeah. So anyway, speaking of that's what they knew, you will never guess who TJ and Amy had as a first guest.
Oh, no. I'm always so scared.
They, as far as I know, they've just been rehashing their greatest hits. Yeah. About the two
that's
of
what
them.
I think is true. Yeah.
They had their first guest. Their first guest was Gavin Rossdale, ex-husband of Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Lead singer of Bush. And what? And okay, all right. I know Amy and TJ probably weren't paying attention way back when this happened, but Julia and I were on the air, and I very vividly remember, because it was Jude Law one year, and then the next year, Gavin Rossdale, and then Ben Affleck getting it on with the nanny. And that's why Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani broke up.
Yeah.
Because to bang the nanny, someone right in your family, I mean, it's like a friend, a sister. I mean, it's just crossing. It's just a huge, huge line. And I'm like, of course, Amy and TJ book the cheater McCheater with the nanny.
Yeah.
And then he talks about he doesn't have a connection with his ex-wife. And the divorce was just debilitating for his boys. And he didn't ever want to be like his mom and dad who'd been married three times. And I'm like, what is the point of any of these conversations right now? I'm uncomfortable for everybody.
It's so wild to me. You're right. Like, take a step back. The fact that they are going, this is our brand, is like, nobody wants this brand.
Yeah, the cheating, I mean, excuse my behavior. Because Gavin Rossdale, now he's just stirred it all back up. And his kids with Gwen are in like junior high and high school. I mean, they're really not at the point where they're going to appreciate any of these headlines.
No. It brings them, it stirs them all up again, though.
Yeah, yeah. And but he wishes he had more of a connection with Gwen.
Okay.
And, you know, but I do. There was like a whole thing where like celebrity guys were getting busted with the nanny.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
Like in 2015.
And like, then it was, the big joke was, better not get a hot nanny.
No.
And like, that is so gross. And like, how about maybe tell these guys they better, like, that's an insane line to cross.
And it's crazy that TJ and Amy apparently are just going to be this is their brand, cheating.
But, like, feel bad for the cheater.
Yes.
It's like, oh, let's find, you know, instead of any accountability.
Or asking him what really happened, what went on with the nanny, because these two.
That's why he's no well known.
Yeah. And also these two co-workers is kind of like a nanny situation.
Well, yeah.
And because the partners all knew each other, that makes it a soap opera. They went on double dates, and now their exes are dating each other and seem to be having more fun.
It's so wild because I'm watching Vanderpump Rules, and, you know, we just got off the heels of Scandoval.
Yeah, it's so boring.
It's so boring. And you know what? At the end of the day, nobody murdered anybody. Just take your accountability. That's what anyone wants. I don't want to hear why you did it or what situation. Just take your part in it. And let's move on.
No, they're not. Listen, we never thought we were going to be buddies with these bartenders, waitresses, and barbacks this long. And they've been on for a long time, and none of them have evolved.
No.
They're all the same.
At first, I thought you were talking about TJ. I mean, No, you're so right. It's wild. They're still on. We need to get the new iteration quickly. Because I want to see now them screw up.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah,
so true.
Because it's just like, oh, God, you guys are like stunted.
I know. None of them work at the restaurant anymore. Nah, so what are we doing here?
What are we really doing? Yeah, this is going to be, they're going to need all the editing help they can on that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Vanderpump Villa.
Same. Yeah. I'm going to watch Villa, and then I'll probably watch The Valley just because I want to see. Jax is one of the most interesting men. He's the worst human ever on reality TV. So I just want to see how he's living, especially because they're divorcing. I'll
watch that one for you. Everybody.
You're welcome.
Everyone that's listening too.
Yes. And possibly. We don't want to give them much ratings.
All right, listen, we'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Lori here for Borton Overseas, and we are going to Iceland. We'd love you to come with us. We're headed there October 1st to the 6th. It's 10 years since we took a small group to Iceland, and we're ready to go again. Borton Overseas, they do such an amazing job. They take care of all of the arrangements, the airfare, the hotel, planning the itinerary. It's a great itinerary with, you know, a lot of nature, sightseeing, Blue Lagoon, shopping time, northern lights. We'll be on a motor coach, so it's a small group with a great guide. So I always like doing that in case you need to take a little nap or have a little chat time with your neighbor. But we're staying at a great hotel, the Hotel Reykjavik Saga, right downtown. And the key word to get connected with Borton is go to MyTalk's website, put in keyword Iceland.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Dirt alert, what's happening?
Well, we've got some dirt, we've got some news about another film, and we'll start out with just a little positive news about a little film action here. Downton Abbey is coming back.
What?
Yeah, for a third and final film, according to Imelda Staunton. She is Staunton. Staunton.
She plays Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, and she's also in Harry Potter, but I tried five times to memorize her name, and it didn't work, so that's perfect. But on Wednesday, she basically leaked the news on a PBS television series that there will be a final film, and she said, there you go. And so...
I'm all for it. I loved when they were in the south of France, that second movie, and Lady Grantham. And I love that show.
Oh,
I love
good.
It. As long as they can come up with a story,
you're in.
I'm in. I'm fine with it.
Good. Okay. I think that's how people who love that show love that. Like, they're going to follow it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, following the royal aspect of it, this is a source from the National Enquirer, so we just got to say this, is basically saying that Queen Camilla has reportedly iced out her ailing husband, King Charles, as he's battling cancer.
Oh, well, you know, there was kind of a funny story, and it came out of Camilla's own mouth, and she was at something because, you know, she took some holiday. A week vacation.
Yeah, holiday, yeah.
She is a working royal. She gets out there. But she was asked about her grandson, Louis, and she made it clear that she was talking about her grandson, Louis, from her child and not the other.
Oh, wow. Louis.
And so, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, like something, sometimes they just like will take like something like that and then maybe make a story out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's not really, but I think... You know, Prince Charles has been seen for the third day in a row just in a car driving into Buckingham Palace. Mm-hmm. To be seen is to be believed.
Yeah.
So that's how they're handling it. I think that's just
a little switcheroo, misconstrued a little bit, maybe?
Maybe, because people were just like, Camilla is very, you know, no nonsense. We know this from watching her on The Crown. And I can just see her not even really like realizing that she was referring that she's got her grandchildren and he's got his.
That's a separation.
And it's funny because as Americans, too, we take that as coldness. We took that coldness, you know, the British way as like brutal or not caring, but reality, I mean, they're so different.
And remember, Camilla is not a stepmother that William and Harry were ever excited about.
No, no.
But it was a long time of, you know, I don't think Harry cares for her still, but
I love this.
She was the woman who caused a lot of pain to their mother.
I love this headline, though, because
I'm sorry.
Oh, Harry.
It's like so funny to just think that. Okay, Camilla, she goes, you have cancer, you're on your own, kid. Right. So I kind of love it just because it's so ridiculously beautiful. It's so British tabloids.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grant.
Yeah, and let's jump over to, we talked about this with you, Brittany, on Tuesday, I believe it was, when we were talking about the more recent documentary series called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
Yeah.
Well, Josh Peck, the co-star with Drake Bell from Josh and Peck, has come out to talk on this. And he just said, I finished the Quiet on the Set documentary and took a few days to process it. And he's finally saying something because a lot of people came out and said that, hey, why are you not saying anything?
Was he and Josh and Drake? Was
Yeah,
his
he
show?
Was the other half. It was Josh Peck and Drake Bell were the two main stars. And so he said, I finished the documentary. I reached out to Drake privately, but I wanted to give my support for the survivors who were brave enough to share their stories of emotional and physical abuse on Nickelodeon sets with the world. He continued, children should be protected. Revealing this publicly is incredibly difficult, but I hope it can bring healing for the victims and their families, as well as a necessary change in our industry.
Well, that needs to happen. If nothing else, it just showed like, my gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nickelodeon, when they came out and, you know, they wanted to be edgier than Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that shows for it was, you know, based on the idea of being like SNL. Amanda's show was so wacky. Mm-hmm. A lot of that did that and did it well in some ways, but
also crossed a lot of lines, and you really have to see it yourself.
Yeah,
you
can, I'm going to watch this.
It's so good. Yeah,
it's just one of those things that even if you didn't grow up in that era, you have to see it. It's going to be disturbing, but you'll just...
I think it's important. I also think there's a really good lesson in there, too, about... There's a scene about how when this very... He was very popular. He was the abuser. He abused Drake.
That was Peck. The last guy's name was Peck.
I think his name is Bob Peck.
Yeah.
Bob Peck was abusing Drake, and he had to go face these charges. And so he had a bunch of famous actors that he had worked with write him a bunch of favorable,
I think his name is Brian Peck.
He's now working
for Disney.
He did
get a job for Disney after the fact. I don't know if he still is, but after that,
how wild is that?
Yeah, so all these actors showed up to do character letters, and they showed Ryder up to Strong. Court. Yeah, and it is just another example of, you know, that compartmentalization that predators use, that they
they don't abuse everybody that they meet.
No.
They don't groom every person.
No.
And there's lots of people that they're just completely regular and normal. It's the same way, like, people who are just, you know, even abusive people emotionally, they only do it
They've never been mean to me. And let's just remember, too, like, sometimes Hollywood people are idiots.
Yeah,
have to go, why would you write a report? You know that somebody did this to a kid.
Grant, did you finish it?
The whole series?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember I did one the whole night.
Yeah, that's right.
You did one night. Up all night.
Yeah, well, I watched from 2 a.m. till 6 a.m.
It's rough. It's rough. I finished it, but it's good.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the watch. You can see it on Max. I saw it on Prime yesterday. And then if you just search Quiet on the Set, if you have any cable with your DVR, it's available.
Yeah.
Right. I hate to say worth the watch because it's so tragic.
It's just, you know, it just
opens your eyes.
And there's a lot of people who, you know, also watch those shows too. And so the interest in it is.
Yeah. The 90s kids, the 2000s kids and the parents that were around them will definitely have some feels for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Hey, everybody. Lori here for the Chan Hassan Dinner Theater. And playing up on the main stage is beautiful, the Carole King musical. And it is such a fantastic show. I was talking to somebody today, and she's like, I need to do something with my sister. I need to, like, just make a plan with her. And I'm like, well, where's your sister live? Eden Prairie. I'm like, does she like music? She's like, yeah. I go, Carole King, you're going to go with your sister to Carole King. And their night is they can only get together, like, do a Sunday night thing. I said, they got a Sunday night show. And you'll love the music because Carole King started writing hit songs at age 16. And then she married like 2 years later after meeting him in this Don Kirshner, they wrote all these amazing songs together, and it's just incredible. Visit ChanhassenDT.com for tickets. They're always entertaining you.
She has a theory.
Theory that if I spill a big glass of pop in here, that Brittany will jump up and get multiple napkins.
What was going on over
that's
there?
That's what I did. I don't know. This is not like me to bring an open cup.
I was
going to
say,
studio.
I always have the screw top.
I always have a lid on because of the knot, and I just got cavalier because I'm on an ice cream high. An hour ago with Bridgman's, and it just sailed over, and it went into the keyboard, the little mouses.
You know what?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Brittany is the girl that will just jump up and get the napkins and be very calm.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not even the grossest part of my day today. So we are fine. This is nothing. It's already, everything's airing out. We're perfect. We are on track.
Do you think that, just like, I know it's hard because you just had Gogo as only two. So we're not ready to think about her being college age.
Yeah.
And you discussing who she's, you know, maybe dating and school.
Yeah.
But do you think that parents would like to know what their college aged or 20 something kids, when they say, do you think they would like the Hollywood speak on some of the stuff that their kids are saying? Like the number one thing that I think kids will say to a parent or maybe an aunt or uncle, are you dating anyone? Well, I'm just talking to somebody.
I want her to go out and live all the lives.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I think people you and I lived we went through phases and we went through whatever. And I think the more power do I want to know details?
No. So just talking is a good way of just like.
I just say go live all the lives, but I don't need to know all of it. I don't even know. You want to know what? And I don't want to know names of people either, unless like it's going to go somewhere. This is the way I treat my friends as well. Don't name the puppy. I don't need to know the puppy's name unless you're keeping it. So, yeah. No.
Just talking means it's.
Oh, you're sleeping with them.
Well, it's a label without a label.
Yeah.
And it means it's not exclusive. And it means that you're getting to know somebody and maybe it's going to turn into something, but you're not naming that thing. So just talking is like, if you're a parent or a person who's like been bugging, says, well, what do you mean by that? That's what they mean by that. So it's not, there's nothing to say yet. And that's why they just say to you, I'm talking to people. There's a couple people I'm talking to.
To be honest, I wish my brother's one of my best friends, and he lives in Austin, Texas now. He just moved there, and he tells me the names of puppies before, and I'm like, I want to hit him in the face and say, stop. I really like this one. This name. Don't tell me a name until it's a thing. Because I have a pure amount of things I can put in my brain.
Yeah.
Now I know how many exes' names at this point.
Forget them. Make them into paper airplanes and turn them into flying, you know what.
So that's how I feel about I hope Gogo, as she gets older, is just talking until a long time. I'm not the type that would be like marry in your 20s.
Yeah. But so like you don't need to press anybody.
No.
If they say just talking. I speak on that.
Two things I've learned from you and many things I've learned from you. But now there's two in this realm of talking to young people is don't ask them about school. That's the boringest thing to ask. And they don't want to talk about school. And now don't ask them
it's okay. But then just go, okay, that's good. That's fun to be talking to people. That's all you need
gotta
to
walk
say.
Away with. Just talk. That's great. Have fun.
How fun for you.
Yeah, right.
I hope you're talking to several people. have fun with it. Okay, so I'm bringing this to you. But it's something that's always, in the news. I don't know why. Maybe because it affects millions of men worldwide, and anything that affects millions of men worldwide is automatically going to get more play in the news. And what am I talking about?
Yeah.
I am talking about ED, erectile dysfunction.
Viagra.
Anyway, even using computers, guys, for leisure and fun has now been linked to the good old ED. It is zapping the hell out of your lead.
Oh. Really? And now we need not just a laptop. This is
well, I got my journal Andrology. It's not my favorite. It's a lot of biology. But they always have said when they've studied this, it's the amount of office work and blah blah blah, and how much time you spent on a computer that is putting men at risk for erectile dysfunction. But now it's also, this seems like a study of duh more than anything to
right.
me, but the fun you do on your computer too is going to add to it.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But
that
they're
makes sense.
Studying it, and really they're just studying they're probably going to just how many hours. And for God's sakes, don't put that laptop or your iPad in your crotch.
I know.
I'm always worried about my cell phone in my pocket right next.
Yeah, you should be. You are zapping things and you don't even know what.
That's right.
And a lot of times it's like the big thing, at least, when we talk about this, is heat.
Heat.
You don't want anything.
Yeah.
And so you want that aired out. You don't need heat.
That's like getting someone pregnant. Erectile dysfunction is just.
Totally different.
Yeah. Is the wood?
Yeah, you're right.
Is it soft wood tonight, darling, or do we have a hardwood situation?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
What floor are we walking on here?
Are we talking spongy mushroom or?
Oh God! Oh God! Sorry to anybody who's currently making or eating dinner.
Yeah, I know.
Which sounds delicious, to be honest.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
Just keep the devices off the crotch.
Yeah, really and truly find, make use of a good bamboo bath thing. And maybe you just put it right on your lap or something.
Tray. Yeah.
A tray. Yeah. Yeah. Keeping things off of your lap, your Kindle.
Yeah. Or just go to a desk, go to a table, put it on there.
Great point.
What fun is that? Maybe you're in bed and enjoying Die Hard with a Heart On, the movie I told you about the
other
day.
Your eyes got way too big for that.
The sixth and final Die Hard movie that came out a few years ago.
You are a monster on this.
I know.
I love you.
I know, she says.
No shame, and I love it.
Okay, so is not being in love a legally valid reason for divorce?
I think it's an important one.
I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, for a long period of time, right? If you're not working on fixing that, then I think that's time to peace out.
Yeah.
I'd say even if you haven't, some people, it isn't working. I know that therapy and couples therapy does help people, but sometimes it doesn't. So if it ain't there, it ain't there.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Richards cannot admit to herself she's not in love with her husband anymore.
I know.
It is so liberating when you decide you're not in love with that person anymore and you're just like, I'm not in love anymore and we're not going to be able to make it fix. I give up. It's a liberating thing.
Yeah, sure.
And yes, it is a valid reason for divorce. And I will say I was very glad when I got divorced the first time that Minnesota is a no-fault state, even way back when.
Yeah.
Because my simple reason was I'm not in love and I can't see being married to you for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. And when you have that epiphany, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
Like, you're like,
it constantly sits in the back of your head.
Why did I get married just because everybody else was getting married? I mean, that's a lot of starter marriages.
Yeah. You needed that toaster.
I didn't even care about the toaster.
No, I know.
I didn't even have a bridesmaid.
I know.
Yeah. No, I just think that there is pressure on people.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so dumb.
Old fashioned.
It's so dumb, but you think of next steps in your life.
Yeah, I know.
And you think that that's one. And the reality of it isn't. But like you've told yourself. I mean, that's the stories of our lives, right? As you grow up, get married.
Well, unfortunately for women, we do have a biological clock that does tick.
It ticks constantly in my ears.
Even if you're unsure, you could check in and see, can you save your eggs or do something so that you don't willy-nilly marry the wrong person.
I know. And then, you know what? It's okay.
But I mean,
you get one, two, or three, four, or five times try. Just know that Yeah. This doesn't have to be your person.
Right, right.
You can try again.
You can try again. All right, listen, we'll be right back with what's on TV tonight. Little Olivia Rodrigo.
That's a good one.
That's a good song.
Is that the one she was laying on the floor to?
No. The one that she was I'm So Obsessed With Your Ex, and I think it'll be on the, because it wasn't on any of the original CDs, so I think it'll be on the tomorrow when they do the extended version. So it's so good. It's just like how she's obsessed with this ex, and she looks at all of her social media and all this stuff, and she's like shoving herself on the floor. It was so good. I mean, she's such a theater kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Isn't she a Disney kid?
Yes. Yeah. And you can just tell. So she'll be like, hey guys, I'm so glad you're here. And then she gets into whatever song.
Yeah.
And it's like these eyes are there. And she does like, you know, like a fake little like wants to punch people in the face. It's so good. She's a very, she's fun. And she's creating a whole new way for women to vent. I love it.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Okay, so Roadhouse didn't drop last night until 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning,
so
here, yeah.
Only the people, the Night Owls, got to watch it, but I'm thinking tonight there's going to be a lot of people.
Oh, I'll be on it tonight, and I'll have a little report tomorrow.
Yeah,
for sure.
Jake Gyllenhaal, it's really should be called Boathouse because it's in Key West and a marina, but it's getting good reviews, and people who were like thinking it was really going to be bad are maybe going to be eating crow.
Yeah.
And I think the movie probably would have done really well at the box office because, like, when I told my husband about it, he goes, yeah, I read the fight scenes are really amazing. That would have been great to see on a big screen, you know. And then tonight on Netflix, and Grant, you might already know about this. This is the series premiere of Three Body Problem. And it's that new show from the Game of Thrones guys.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
D.B. Weiss and David Benioff. Mm-hmm. And it centers around this detective played by Benedict Wong, an astrophysicist played by Rosalind Chow, and a group of five friends at Oxford. And Neil Justin gave it a good review. So that's on Netflix, and that started today. Let's see what else. Oh, tonight, TMZ, where the heck is Kate Middleton?
Oh, my.
Where's Kate Waldo? Yeah, TMZ has already put together
a whole
package.
Dang. I don't like their packages usually. I'm not going to lie, because usually they're kind of like exploitive. But yeah, this one I could maybe
don't bother. I've brought you.
Yeah, you've given us
I've given you everything, Grasshopper, that you need to know. But yeah, you do not need to waste your time.
It's regurgitated.
They
just regurgitate it with like flashier pictures.
Yeah. Watch What Happens Live. Kristen Wiig and Ricky Martin are in the clubhouse.
We'll have some audio for that, I bet.
So that should be good. And of course, we got, you know, Law and Order SVU, and Law and Order Organized Crime, and Grey's Anatomy. And then on, we got two late night shows. Oh, thank you. They better not cancel Organized
they
Crime.
They better not. I know.
Why aren't people watching that? It's so good.
I agree. I think it's just, it might, I don't see that one going.
They've got
the trifecta. Why would you ruin up that lineup? I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just maybe a contract
issue. And maybe do a couple more crossover episodes between Stabler and Benson.
Yep. I don't know. I don't think that one's going anywhere.
It's great seeing, too. Ellen Bernstein is Christopher Maloney, Elliot Stabler's mom, in the Organized Crime, and she plays a woman with dementia. And it's, you don't ever see that like on television. And anyway, she's a phenomenal actress.
Yeah. It sounds really good. I've never sat and watched it, but I feel like the only way I consume Law and Order is either I'm not watching it or I watch 15 in a day because it's just continuous.
Yeah. Yeah. Very comforting. It's good on a sick day.
Yes.
And then, okay. Late night, besides Kristen Wiig and Ricky Martin over, on Watch What Happens Live, Jimmy Fallon has Gisele Bündchen.
Ooh.
Hey, she rarely does interviews.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what she's...
Maybe a cookbook, maybe something's coming out, but I love... First of all, I can't believe Tom Brady decided to have that woman not talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love her accented English. She's just...
Oh, she's beyond.
Yeah, beyond beautiful. And then Wayne Brady is also going to be joining Jimmy Fallon. And then on Kimmel, Regina King is on promoting tomorrow on Netflix, Shirley, the story about Shirley Chisholm. that I guess was a passion project that Regina and her sister have tried to get made for 15 years.
Wow.
And, you know, this is her first movie and her first even being out, because her son 2 years ago took his life at the age of 26.
Oh.
And so she has just been, you know, we haven't heard from her for 2 years, but she's walked the red carpet, talked to all the entertainment shows, and Shirley Chisholm is an amazing woman that more people need to. She ran for president in 1972, a black woman. And people are, you cannot believe the crap that she got.
I can't even imagine.
But anyway, she's really kind of an incredible woman that drops tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to Regina King and Jimmy Kimmel. And then old William Shatner is going to come out and join.
What? Who?
William Sean Kimmel.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if he's got a book out or what Bill Shatner has going on, William, that he's been in the news lately. But yeah. Anyway, he's going to sit down. Regina obviously will be on first. And so hopefully we'll have some good couch tomorrow.
Old Bill Shatner. Who knows? He could be dropping another album at this point.
Yeah. I feel like he might have an addendum or something to his memoir. But Julie and I met him one year at the Screen Actor Guild Awards, and he's so old school. He went down the row of every single person who was standing behind the bushes.
Yeah.
On the press row.
Shook their hands.
Nice to meet you. Nice to see you. William Shatner. Nice to see you. And then you didn't have to talk to anybody. You didn't really have to. Nice to see you. Just individually welcoming you and, you know, just shaking your hand. I was like, that's so old school.
I love it. It's like a get in, get out. He knows if he gives you a little, he doesn't have to give you
and
a lot.
And I think he did, you know, people did have a question for him. He would stop and talk, but he would stop and make eye contact.
I love that he says his name as if you don't already know
who
he
is. Yeah, so he actually has a documentary coming out called You Can Call Me Bill. It premieres tomorrow.
There you go.
And that's why. And it's all about the frontier, which, you know, Star Trek, his frontier, his future, and what he did in his career. So that's the connection.
He's
there.
Really the first man to wear leggings on TV as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, my God. He made joggers a thing.
He did. All that whole Star Trek uniform.
You're so right. All right. Bye. I love you.
All right.